about the Jackson schools, and you mentioned that they had been desegregated and the board had been recalled. I think a similar thing happened in Lansing. In fact, I was talking with one of the board members who had been recalled last night, Mrs. Hortense Kennedy. Could you go continue on and give us just a little outline of these recall situations?
Yes, Jackson School Board was recalled. The superintendent was fired, but he didn't seem to mind a bit. He said he was going to stand by his principal. You're right, there were school board members in Lansing that were recalled, but they did not fire their superintendent as yet. Mr. Breeden stated that Jackson is busing, and they are busing less since they desegregated the schools than they were before they desegregated them. He said that they're using the Princeton plan, and I'm sure you're familiar with the Princeton plan, Mr. Skink, because you are an old NAACP-er. The Princeton plan is where you take certain grades, and suppose you would take grade 3, 4, and 5, and move the third grade out of that building and put it in another building. All third graders would go to one particular building. All fourth graders would go to another particular building. I asked him about the high schools, and he said they were already desegregated and had been for some times. This is where I take issue with the suggested plans of desegregating the public schools here in Saginaw. I understand that our superintendent would like to begin with the high school. Maybe it's because I'm an elementary teacher, but I'm also a parent, and I believe that desegregation should take place in the elementary schools when the children are young, before their ideas are hardcore, before the differences has been built up. I'm not really sure just what can be done about it as yet, but as I stated before, I think that education is our biggest problem in Saginaw.
Carrying this education idea along a little further, though, we have seen, and you have just shown, where people have acquired considerable education, and either they were passed over in consideration for administrative positions, or if they got to elective positions on school boards, et cetera, and political entities, they have been recalled. Do you think there's any solution to all this?
I wished I could be very optimistic and say, yes, I've got the solution. But personally, I'm not optimistic. I don't really believe that we're going to solve that problem in our lifetime. The NAACP, along with other organizations, will continue to work and try to solve the problem. It is very difficult to try to convince our young people, and rightly so. Why should they have to wait when it seems that we have already been so long in getting what we think we justly deserve? But it seems that we are becoming more polarized. I'm sure you recall the Kerner report that was written right after the riot, where it came out that we are becoming more polarized, and it seems that perhaps in the near future we will have two Americas, one black and one white. Something certainly should be done. And I know that you, along with all of the other citizens that are concerned, and you have been concerned for a number of years, will work to try to solve the solution. I, for one, no longer believe that we should wait for people's attitude to change, and this seems to be what many are waiting for. We should wait until our attitudes are changed. I think we need laws, and I shouldn't say just need laws, because we do have laws, and they have not been implemented. I do think the ones that we have should be implemented, and I think if it's necessary to get new laws, that they should be passed and implement it also. I see no future for Saginaw's public schools unless there's a suit file. I just don't think that I shouldn't feel this way, but I just don't think that we have citizens that have enough courage to do what they have to do. And this is our problem. Those that feel that something should be done are silent. And there are those that feel that nothing should be done. And this is where we are today.
One of the, some of the early settlers of Saginaw among the black community were the Goodrich brothers. Do you recall anything about them, Mrs. Barlow?
I recall reading about them in the Saginaw News. Every once in a while they run a group of pictures that were taken by the Goodrich brothers. I understand that they were outstanding photographers. I also read where they came to Saginaw, I think perhaps from Pennsylvania, someplace out east, and some of their ancestors, I think it has not been too long that perhaps some of them passed on. I think I lost the other question that you asked about... the first black worker. Before I get on the first black workers, I understand that the Goodrich brothers had no problems. They lived where they wanted to. I think they lived in the old Bancroft Hotel, and that, it was not called Bancroft then, but I think it was something like that, and that makes me recall a joke that I heard once that, blacks are all right if there are not too many of them. As I recall, when I was growing up, there were some of us that were almost naive to think that there weren't that many problems, because there just weren't that many of us. And the more that we get, the more problems that we have. It shouldn't be that way, but it seems that this is something that we're told. I recall reading about the first General Motor workers that were coming in. In fact, my father perhaps might have been part of that, if not part of that, right behind that, where that General Motors needed labor, and Negroes were recruited from the South and to work. And this is what caused a lot of the problems. They needed them to work, but yet they were not willing to see that they had decent places to live. I remember very vividly where people would have, they would rent rooms, and there perhaps might be two or three men renting the same room. If one man was working a third shift, there would be someone sleeping in the bed while he was gone. Then the man that had slept all night in the bed would go to work in the morning at 6 o'clock, and the fellow that worked the third shift would get off at 6, and he would come home and sleep in the bed at that time. It was just, housing was just that acute. And yet we were all living in one small area, and that just wasn't any place to go, because you were practically pinned in, and you had a certain area that you just weren't able to move into. Yes, I can recall very vividly, and I think perhaps this is, I'm not sure, but I think that this is perhaps much of our problems have stemmed from this.
The Goodrich brothers did many fine photographs during the logging area, and we know that there were black settlers in Saginaw during the logging area. Are you aware of any other families who were here prior to that period?
I understand. There's a home on Hoyt Street, and the name escapes me now, but that was a black millionaire who made his fortune in lumbering. It's odd, but I had a son finish Saginaw High in 1969, and he brought this to my attention. One of the instructors had mentioned this to him. I have gone to the library. You may recall that in 69, the NAACP had an essay contest for junior high students and senior high students to seek up facts about Negro settlers from many years back. The girl that won first prize did a study on Mr. Ford, who is a longtime member. And I wished I had that essay here with me, Mr. Skink. It was very interesting. There were Negro teachers in those times. He named three of them. Perhaps if you give me some time, I'll try to get those essays. And one of them was named Sarah W. Brown. He even told the name of the school that she taught in, but it escapes me now. So there were other settlers before then. I know I worked with a woman about 25 or 26 years ago, and she was an elderly lady at that time. She didn't really have to be so old, I guess. I was quite young myself then, and young people seem to think that you're old after you get 40. But I would say that at this time, 25 or 30 years ago, she must have been in her 50s. And so she told me that she had never remembered growing up in Saginaw when there weren't some Negroes. Now, about 5 years ago, I went to the library, and maybe you've seen the same thing. They had this little small telephone book, and there were Negroes listed by color. They listed their names. They told that they were Negroes. They told where they lived, and they told what kind of work they did. And many of them lived right downtown. Most of them were beauticians. The men ran cleaner shops and this type of thing. I recall that Mr. Harry W. Brown named some of these people at one of our dinners that we attended. So Saginaw has a long history of some families. Maybe you remember about 6 months ago they did a study on the Porterfield family, that where AMP now stands on the Dixie Highway out there, that they owned that land at one time. Their father had come from Ohio. So we Negroes go far back into Saginaw's history. We have a place here.
How do you see the future, and in what direction must the black community and minority groups go in Saginaw to achieve maximum potential?
I must go back to what I originally said, Mr. Skink, that I think perhaps education is perhaps one of probably the only route. I'm reminded, I'm sure you must have heard of Mal Good. He's with the United Nations. 3 weeks ago, I went to Hamtramck to hear him speak. And he mentioned that he had attended a dinner, and one fella, white fella, got up and says, "What do you people want? What have you contributed to America to think that you deserve something?" And you know Mr. Good is an outstanding man, so he very quickly stated that, "I want what everyone else wants. I want a decent house for my family. I want a decent job so I can educate my family." And he said, "You're going to ask me what have I contributed so that I deserve something?" He said, "Every time you drive up to a traffic light, I want you to remember that there was a Negro that invented that light." And he looked at him and he says, "Have you ever had a blood transfusion?" He said, "No." He said, "Has any member of your family ever had a blood?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I want you to know that a Negro was responsible for that, Dr. Drew." And he went on to explain what Negroes have contributed. We have made a contribution. But as I sat there and listened, Mr. Good, I agreed with everything he said. But I also thought of something else. We didn't have to contribute anything. We deserve everything America has by the mere fact that we were born Americans. No one else has to prove anything. No one asks, "What has a white man done to deserve what he has?" Why should I be asked, "What have I done to deserve it?" I am a natural-born American. This is our country. So we shouldn't have to prove, although we have contributed, just as any other race has contributed.
Mrs. Barlow, speaking about blacks from Saginaw who have made significant contributions, I wonder if you could recall any of them and the various contributions they've made.
Yes, we have our first black alumni from Saginaw High, Mr. Edward Hodges, who is a Saginawian. He has now become vice president of Bell Telephone Company. In fact, I just received a letter from him yesterday explaining some of their fair housing, their fair hiring practices. You may recall that just after the riot in Detroit, he brought a plan where Bell Telephone would adopt Northwestern High School there in Detroit and train students for better jobs. We also have a past Olympic champion, Mr. Bill Watson, who passed away just recently this year. We have a classmate of mine, Mr. Norman McRae, who has his PhD and has written several books in the field of education. We have just recently Black Saginaw High alumni, Mr. Lemuel Tucker, and I can recall very vividly where his mother would pay me to, we would take him to the show and see after him. He grew up not too far from where we were living. Mr. Tucker has a very illustrious background. He was once assistant to Governor G. Menon Wiggum. He is now a very outstanding NBC commentator. We have another Black alumni from Saginaw High, Mr. Glenn McIrn, whose father still resides here, has a sister here too. He has his PhD, and he is in research in the medical field. Naturally, we have Mr. Henry Myers, who was our first Black mayor, and we have a big bridge span to remind us every day of him, the Henry G. Myers Bridge. We have Mr. Jerry Patton, who is a professional football player with Buffalo. Mr. Al Hinton, I don't think Mr. Patton is with Buffalo, is he? With Buffalo, Buffalo Bills. And we have Mr. Al Hinton, who is with the Baltimore Colts. We also have some very distinguished educators. We had Dr. John Wagner, who taught biology at Old Bay City Junior College and then proceeded on to establish the biology department at Delta College. He left and became a went into research in Atlanta, Georgia. And when he left, we had another very outstanding, capable educator, Dr. Lucille Tunstall, who headed the biology department at Delta College and also at Saginaw Valley. All Saginawians know the beloved Dr. Archer A. Clater, who was appointed past governor of the Virgin Islands by President Eisenhower. We have just recently one of our Black Americans here in Saginaw, Mr. Westbrook Walker, who has received his doctorate from Michigan State University. We have two district managers for Prudential Life Insurance, Mr. Terry Mason and Mr. James Moore, who is a Saginawian. Mr. James Moore has a brother who was one of our attorneys. He is now deceased, though, Mr. Jeff Moore, who had a practice in Detroit. The brothers of Mrs. Carrie Martin, who is a counselor at Arthur Eddy, and they have two other sisters that are teaching, Mrs. Bernice Dorsey and Mrs. Maddie Calhoun. We have Dr. Robert Taylor, who is an anesthesiologist at Saginaw General Hospital. He heads the department, a very outstanding young man. We have Mr. James Hall, who has become the first and only chief of plant security at one of our General Motors plants, a Saginaw manufacturing plant. And this is just to name a few. We have numerous Black Americans from Saginaw that have achieved great things despite many of the handicaps that they're faced with.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Barlow, and I'm sure that Saginaw Valley College appreciates your interest and the beautiful presentation you just made. Thank you again.